life as a bit of an Elle Woods?
Maybe, yeah.
She's like someone to aspire to be.
Yeah.
She's a role model.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, I think she represents someone who didn't realize how smart they were until they were motivated. And I feel like everybody's just waiting for their moment.
Everybody?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I think a lot of people are not.
Oh, I'm just waiting for my moment.
Wait, moment for what?
To be great.
But she didn't wait for her moment at all.
She
created her moment.
True.
Like her starting place too. You can see yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
That's cool.
That you can see yourself, or that I can see myself in this movie.
There's something that I only every now and then realize is that people do that.
Yeah.
I never. It's happened to me once. And I was like, holy shit, is this how white men feel when they watch every movie?
Everything? Ever?
When they changed, they turned Jhumpa Lahiri's novel, The Namesake, into a movie. And I was like, oh my God, this movie gets me. Because it was the first movie of like, he wasn't even Indian, he was Bengali. But he, of someone of like my generation, and he wasn't even in Canada, he was in New Jersey, I think. But I was like, wow, I've never seen this before. And then I was like telling people about it, and they're like, yeah, that's like every movie. And yeah. It's like, no, it's not. It's like, and it's not just like the race and how they look. There's not people like me in movies. Mm-hmm. Not skin color wise. Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
But there's, I never really see that. So sometimes I forget of the power of someone going like, that's me and that can be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like inspirational.
Yeah.
Just like an inspiration. And I feel like when I first saw this in like 2001, of course, I was in like junior high. So I was like very young and it may not have resonated quite as much. But this is a movie that I've seen quite a bit and that has like stuck in pop culture. I feel like Legally Blonde is kind of around.
Yeah.
And I feel like as like a young woman, because I'm old now.
You're an old woman.
I'm an old woman. Right. Now. But like as a young woman, there's like a point in your life where you kind of have to decide what you're going to be. And I feel like Elle Woods is a very like inspirational way to do it.
Very interesting. You've really given me something to think about. Unfortunately, I don't have time because we're going to podcast on it right now.
Yeah.
So welcome everyone to another episode of I Love This, You Should Too. My name is Indy Rice on the Burner Randhawa, and with me is my lovely co-host, Samantha Pinkalicious Randhawa.
Oh, that's me.
So pink.
Yeah. Although my hair isn't as pink as it was. So.
No, but you are a constant source of pinkness.
True. Very true.
You have so many pink things.
I do. I do. And I feel like that's where Elle Woods and I really are the same.
That was the most, for sure. But other ways, too, I think.
Great hair.
Keep going.
Perky comebacks.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. But in case you didn't know, we are talking about the movie Legally Blonde today. We're going to have all spoilers. I am going to get up and check my rice, because it's a little late and I have a full big giant burrito meal planned. So Samantha, this was your pick. I guess I don't need to ask you why, because we just went over it.
And I still love it.
You still love it.
I still love it. It was so much fun to watch, even though I've seen it so many times. There's just little moments that just like bring me like a little bit of joy. And I feel like this movie still, after like all of these years, does some really good things for me. And I think that's fun. But Indy, did you love it?
I can't say I loved it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a good movie. It is a good character.
Mm-hmm.
I like Elle Woods and I like that performance and I like a lot of what she stands for. I feel like the movie is lacking in many ways and is so fun. In so many ways.
It's super fun, yeah.
And we'll get into those. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you'll know exactly what my criticisms are going to be.
Okay.
And if you haven't listened to it, you're probably going to think like, oh, the dude's going to not like all the girly stuff. When in reality, I'm going to be like, not enough girly stuff. Why in Act 3 do we get away from all of that? True. That was the best stuff. But yeah, let's go through it. Do you want me to just like rag on it real quick all at the beginning and get it all over the way? Or do you want to go through the movie chronologically and every here and then, here and then, here and there, now and then, we can go like, well, this could have been better, but this part, fantastic.
Let's just go through the movie and you can tell me what you didn't like and what you liked, and I'll tell you all the things I liked about it.
Of course.
Loved about it.
Are there things you don't like about it?
There's like a few things that I feel like didn't age well.
Sure.
But if we're watching this from like a 2001 lens, I think it's not as bad as like Bring It On.
What? Whoa. I disagree.
Oh, really?
First of all, Bring It On is better.
Okay.
Bring It On is great. I like Bring It On. That's a good movie.
Uh-huh.
Bring It On just uses like one word that is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think this does more than that. That's not cool. But we'll go through
we'll
it.
We'll get to it.
But let's start off with some of my favorite stuff
at
the beginning. I love how silly and
yes.
fun it is to start. Like, they go into the sorority house. They have a cheer team for the sorority, I guess?
I think it's for the university.
Okay. That would make like, more sense.
I think
but
there just is a lot of cheerleaders in this sorority.
I like to think it's the sorority's cheer team. I love that pink bathroom with 20 people in it. I didn't love that it is a whites-only sorority.
Mm.
But it still looked like a lot of fun.
It
Not
did.
Fun that I could have, but I'm sure they're having a great time.
This depiction, this is probably one of the first depictions of sororities that I saw like on film. And I think this piqued my interest about like Greek life, which is like a very horrible system. But like it made it look so cool and exactly like what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Me too.
Right.
Like, I not being in a frat, oh, that sounds terrible
it does,
to me.
It does, yeah.
But being in this sorority,
this
that
sorority
seems fun.
Right here, yeah.
That seems like so much fun.
Yeah, I don't love the Greek system, but I think if this was the Greek system, I would have been all in.
I never heard it referred to as the Greek system, but I guess that's what
that's
people
what
call
it's called,
it.
Yeah.
That makes me think of, you know, the economy in Greece. And I was like, yeah, it's not a great system.
No, it's like Greek
system. They've
been
having a rough time.
And Greek life. Yeah. The governing body is Panhellenic.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird. So much of all of this, like, all that, like, secret white people societies and stuff, it
yeah.
creeps me out a lot of the
it's
time.
It's very creepy and very problematic for sure.
But not this one.
Not this one.
Well,
this one is
maybe. Well, it is whites only. But it looks like a good time.
It does look like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I just like loved, as an only child, I loved the idea of having just like sisters around for like if you needed to learn to use lip liner or like right. whatever Amy needs.
Especially in this place because you have plenty of sinks. Because
exactly.
that's the problem with growing up with four sisters.
You know,
did.
Yeah.
You don't get the bathroom.
You're the opposite problem. But yeah, I think some of these houses in the Greek system are literally like apartment buildings. There's like, can be like 150 girls living in them.
That's too much, man.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But they're also like multi-million dollar buildings that are built with private funds.
Bunch of multi-millionaires living there.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so what group would you have been in if you were a sorority girl in this house?
Wait, what do you mean?
Would you have been like one of the workout girls? Would you have been a cheerleader? Would you have been one of the ones who like needs help with lip liner?
Well, that's positing a world where I am a white woman, so I could just be whatever. I'm going to say I'd be a cheerleader too.
Okay.
We'd hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to be Adult and You cheerleader. So we get introduced to Elle and we get this fun montage of her room. And the amount of times I tried to do those French tip nails on myself with like just regular gel polish and they did not work out and I was very upset about it. Like this movie has influenced me in a lot of ways.
I see that.
Yeah.
Watching this movie is like, oh, okay. I see why she likes this.
But yeah, I enjoyed that you get the box of Clairol right at the beginning, so you know that she's only legally blonde. She's not like fully blonde.
Oh, I see, you're catching all sorts of things that I don't. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was only upon this watching, because I'd never seen it before, but I've of course heard of it. Mm-hmm. I never got that it was a play on Legally Blind.
What?
Like the saying Legally Blind?
Right.
I never got that that's what this was a play on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just like Legally Blonde because she's a lawyer and she's blonde at the end. I never really got like, oh yeah, like Legally Blind.
So we get Elle in her sorority house and she's getting a card pre-congratulating her for getting engaged from her sorority sisters.
Okay, this is trouble.
This is trouble.
They have concocted an engagement. Mm-hmm. He has not learning about this character as we do. He's not done anything to make her think that they're getting engaged.
He is pretty horrible.
But at the beginning, is he? So I think we can fast forward to the dinner.
The date, yes.
She goes like, oh, so we're getting married now. And he's like, no, we're breaking up because I want this life. You're not the person for that kind of life. Uh-huh. Dick, sure.
Yeah.
Upfront and honest.
True. Yeah.
He says, this is what I want for my life. That is, you do not fit in what I want for my life.
Right.
We're breaking up.
And what my family wants for my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she takes that as an invitation to stalk him across the country.
True. What did you think of her scene that she makes in the restaurant?
Well, that was good fun.
Oh, I think that Reese Witherspoon is a fabulous actress. And I think that she did very good work with that. All of the little like noises that Elle makes are like just so perfect for her character. I feel like Reese Witherspoon is the best.
I think this is going to be a rare role reversal because when we watch a movie often, you'll be like, oh, how did you notice all that? I never noticed that. You've seen this movie 20 plus times.
Right.
I've seen it once 5 days ago. So I don't remember a lot of the noises or the Clairol boxes. So I'm going to rely on you for all of that.
Okay. Sounds good. So Elle is crushed by the breakup. And she decides that the way to turn her life around and win Werner back is to get into Harvard and become a lawyer.
Right. To stalk him.
To win him back.
Through stalking.
We're just going to gloss over that.
Because when she arrives, she does just do the like, oh, you go here?
Yeah.
That whole bit.
That's like one of my favorite bits.
And I loved how brown everyone is dressed.
Everyone's
when you
so
get to the East Coast.
Muted and like boring looking. They gave them really boring hair. They gave them really boring outfits. Mm-hmm. And everyone just seems so toned back in comparison to the sorority house.
Boston, man.
Boston. It's full of a lot of boring people.
You know what it's not full of? Colored people.
Yes.
Apparently.
True. From what I've heard from you, Boston is a scary place.
Well, Boston itself is super racist. Yeah, because you know, it's a little sketchy out there. But Harvard is Harvard and very diverse, actually.
Oh.
As most
schools are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most universities are. USC is. Harvard is, but not in this world.
Not in this world. And at her first day of law school, Elle gets a rude awakening when she realizes that she has already missed some assigned reading and cannot answer a question in class and is kicked out and meets, what's his name?
Luke Wilson? I'm just going to call him Luke Wilson. I don't know anyone's name except for Elle.
And she meets Luke Wilson, who gives her kind of the inside track on what Harvard Law School is like.
Right. And then she's like, okay, beat it, because this guy who's
Warner's
pretty mean to me is here now.
Yeah. Did you like Luke Wilson's character?
I neither liked nor disliked him. He's there. He's fine. He's not objectionable. I don't think he's particularly charming, but how about you?
I think he's like low-key charming.
Sure.
I think that character doesn't need to be crazy and out there and like really make an impression on you because we've already got Elle, who is like the most. So I feel like he can just be there.
Yeah.
And he seems like I would believe that he's a lawyer.
Sure.
Because of like this character.
He seemed very nondescript. Mm-hmm. But you could kind of say the same for Warner. Warner is seems like he was cast by a man who says, like, oh, this is what 20-year-old women like. Right? Doesn't it kind of seem like that?
Yeah, I can see that.
It's more something that men aspire to be than what women want. What you tell me.
No.
Right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like an idea of someone.
Like, he's clearly a handsome guy, yeah. But he's handsome in the type that men appreciate more than women usually.
He's one of those guys who's like handsome and he knows it, is kind of like too self-assured of himself.
You just could have had so many people play that role. And I don't think he did a bad job at all.
No.
But there were so many times where it was like, if Freddie Prinze Jr. was doing that, there'd be a little more to it, you know?
And you did point out at one point that he was totally doing like a Freddie Prinze Jr. face.
Yeah. But not as well.
Not as well, no. But you can definitely see him.
Because like, Freddie Prinze has a little more character to him.
He does, yeah. I think he does that like smarmy rich guy better.
Yeah.
Coined that.
We should do She's All That on here.
Oh.
See, I like talking about these kind of movies, but I just like it's a blind spot for me. But as long as I'm allowed to enjoy it and criticize it at the same time, like we're doing now.
Sure.
So she gets into law school very easily.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so this is one of those things where you'd be like, oh, Indy must hate that she just got into law school. I don't.
No.
I don't have issue with her immediately being good at law because she is set up. Maybe not as a legal genius, but she is set up as someone who is very focused and very determined.
Yeah.
It's just she's focused and determined in things that Warner sees as frivolous.
Yeah.
So I don't mind all of that, but I do take issue with the fact that her journey into law, and I think we could argue her journey of self-discovery, mm-hmm. is set in motion by her stalking a man across the country.
Yes, that is definitely questionable.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I've heard this criticism from people, and they're like, why would Harvard accept her? And I feel like having worked at a post-secondary institution and like knowing people in admissions, the more different your profile is, the more you're going to stand out. So I like actually believe that someone who's like a fashion major with a 4.0 and like great extracurriculars would get into Harvard Law. I believe that.
I'm not sure because I don't know about Harvard Law. What I do know a little bit about is if you have a very specific training, that is very advantageous to get into law school, mm-hmm. because you will be that kind of, yes. lawyer. So something like fashion could be something that they see as a great advantage, yeah. and something that she would then follow. I'm sure there's fashion lawyers, right? There has to be.
It's like patent law. It's, yeah. but it's like intellectual property patent law, which would law. Probably be. Yeah.
but on the other hand, them looking at her and framing this as a diversity enrollment,
right.
that's fucked up because she's
she's a blonde.
Yeah. But I guess that's diverse because everyone is white with brown hair at,
yes,
school.
Yes, there are no blondes at Harvard.
And the fact that her essay is just her in a bikini talking to a camera.
Yes.
That, sure, you don't believe that, but it's a movie. So things like that, I'm willing to forgive because, mm-hmm. it's a fun, silly movie.
She hired a Coppola for that.
Which one do you think, Sophia?
I don't know my Coppolas well enough.
I'm going to say Sophia.
Okay. Is she the one who did Marie Antoinette?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Have you seen Marie Antoinette?
I have.
Would you like to do it on this podcast ever?
Maybe.
This will make you not want to do it now. I saw it in theater. I love Sofia Coppola. Uh-huh. Like the vast majority of her movies, and some of them I thought were just amazing. So I went in that with very high expectations, and I thought it was one of the worst movies I'd ever seen in my life. I'd never been so angry in a theater. Maybe when I saw Avatar. Those are the two worst theater experiences.
Oh.
Marie Antoinette and Avatar.
I haven't seen it in a very, very long time, and now I feel like I want to watch it again.
Me too, kind of. Okay. Because it's like, I couldn't have been that angry at this movie.
I remember seeing it and liking it because it was like, I love a period piece, and I love,
yeah.
the costuming and like the grandeur, and Versailles, yeah, is,
who cares,
beautiful.
If Versailles has light bulbs in this version.
Or that she's wearing Converse in one scene. But yeah, it's way off topic.
Okay, we'll do that some point.
Okay, sounds good.
So she's in Harvard.
Yes. She gets owned on her first day.
Right.
And has to like regroup. And it takes her a really long time to figure out that she needs like books and a computer and like a non-fuzzy pen.
See, I don't think you do. No. I got through my whole university career writing in only pink and purple.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't hand in handwritten stuff also.
No, true.
But when she's feeling down, where do you go?
The nail salon.
The nail salon. Yeah. So she goes, she causes an accident. So she's kind of a dick.
Yeah, she is.
Elle is a dick, but you're with her on the journey. So you're like, oh, whatever. She's like, I don't know. Maybe some people died and she just walked away from the scene.
Ran into the nail salon.
Probably brunettes, though, so fuck them.
Yeah, who cares? Right? Who cares about brunettes?
Not her.
Not her.
And she says that. Some icky brown hair or whatever
it was. Icky brown color of her hair.
Can we talk a little bit? Oh, wait. No, okay, let's go to the nail salon. We'll get there. And then we'll talk about Selma Blair.
So we meet Elle's new best friend, Paulette.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Paulette. Paulette is super fun. And I liked her as a sidekick because she's kind of like knockoff Elle in that she wants to be the blonde who's like flirty and fabulous and like, but she's like not there. And I enjoyed her kind of little journey through learning all of Elle's magic. And Jennifer Coolidge is a gem.
I think I'm just Jennifer Coolidged out.
Oh.
Like you can only, she plays the same character.
Yeah.
Pretty much always. And then she's in a lot of commercials now.
Oh, is she?
Where she just plays Jennifer Coolidge, but like to the max. There's just so much talk. I sound like Jack Nicholson when
I did it.
Yeah,
you did.
The other day I was doing a good Coolidge.
Yeah, you are.
But not now. This happens a bit later, but we're kind of jumping around. Mm-hmm. But with Coolidge's character, there's the sequence where they go to get her dog.
Yes.
And my criticism for a lot of movies like this is that they don't spend enough time on the female friendships, and it's usually an afterthought to the love story.
Yeah.
What I did appreciate about this is that seemed to be take up more space than the love story did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the second love story. Still, the first love story is the driving force, which is unfortunate, but that's how it goes. This is a formulaic movie, and that's not neither good nor bad inherently, but when they get to the parts of the formula that I don't like, that's when it falls apart for me. But I do like that they give some time to the friendship between these two here. In those few scenes, like the dog scene, I thought there was something like really interesting and thoughtful in how she was going to school and she's kind of learning this new language of law and the professors are commenting on that, right? She's doesn't have her terms set and she is gaining this new way of speaking, this new power.
Yes.
And she uses it to help out her friend and she goes to that dick and uses all these legal terms. She does use them all incorrectly.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly all incorrectly. But she is using her new language to give voice to someone who doesn't stand up for herself, who lacks that voice. And I appreciated that scene.
Yeah, I liked that scene a lot. I thought her use of like legal jargon, it was really just to like confuse him.
Yes.
So I forgive her for not using the words properly, but she was just looking for like the biggest words she knew, I think. I thought that friendship with their dogs, we haven't even talked about the dogs.
Oh, yeah.
The
true stars of the movie.
The true stars in the movie.
My favorite character is Bruiser.
Bruiser is so good. And Bruiser gets quite a bit of screen time.
Still not enough but I appreciate that.
But yeah, you get to see them bond over the love for their dogs and you get to see them spend like some of the holidays together. And I just found that relationship very heartwarming.
The dog relationship.
The relationship between Elle and Paulette.
Oh, yes, that too.
Yeah.
I thought the two dogs. I found that heartwarming.
You found the two dogs heartwarming?
Yeah. Dogs warm my heart.
Oh.
Since we're on the topic, do we want to talk about Bend and Snap right now and kind of go in order?
Yeah, let's do it.
So that scene was so extended because I feel like someone thought it was funny and they're like, no, let's just roll with it. Now it's a whole dance number. What are your thoughts on Bend and Snap?
It works every time.
No, it does not. If you want to show someone that you are both clumsy, but then also a sassy velociraptor, then I guess, yeah, it does work.
In 93% of times, it results in a dinner invitation.
Someone should check those numbers. I don't think that's accurate. I get like bending over, and I thought it was going to be some like sexy thing where she'd look over her shoulder, but no, you like
rear
jerk your neck back and then pop your arms up like a little T-Rex and lift your boobs with your wrists.
The sexiest of dinosaurs.
See, I think you just like that because you, I call it kitty paws, because you often have your hands like that.
I do often have little T-Rex arms. Just that's like, I don't know why that's where my hands
probably
go.
From this movie, probably. I assume. This is where you learned it.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess, is that the joke that it is bad?
I think it's just that it's silly, yeah.
Okay.
Like, L is, like we talked about, an amplified version of a real human.
Sure.
And I feel like this is just an amplified version of something that you would do to try to like attract boys.
To me, someone who has written unsuccessful movies, sometimes you get a joke and you're like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. Yeah. And you're talking to the director like, yeah, it's really funny. And the joke after a while is just between the two of you and maybe like the actor.
Yeah.
And it makes its way into the movie and you laugh and laugh and you realize like, oh, this was just a joke for us.
Yeah.
But sometimes a joke for you can play to everyone, because I think this is probably very popular, right?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. If you said bend and snap to somebody, they'd say, oh, it works every time. And I feel like the hair salon is like her surrogate sorority house.
Yeah, definitely.
Surrogate sorority. That's hard to say. But I feel like that little moment, she feels at home because she's leading the way in doing the bend and snap with everybody. And I feel like that is like a callback to the beginning of the movie where everyone's like doing each other's makeup and mm-hmm. like giving out cards and just like having fun.
It's a safe space where she can be her true yeah. self, because she's putting on this facade to work in the legal world.
Yes.
And here she can just be herself and be comfortable, and people are accepting of that.
Yeah.
Also, absolutely. One of the only times we see non-white people.
True.
I think some of the there's some black dancers in there, right?
Yeah. Some of the benders and snappers. So Elle is pretty isolated at school, and she overhears Selma Blair and her minion talking about a party that they're throwing. And Selma Blair does the mean girl thing and says, oh, but it's a costume party.
Selma Blair, mean girl?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Well, she's supposed to be a mean girl at the beginning.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Here's my pitch. I would like to see the movie from Selma Blair's point of view. So she has this childhood sweetheart.
Yeah.
He goes and dates someone else for some time. They break up and they rekindle this romance. And now they're going to school together.
Right.
The ex, who he has dumped and told explicitly, I'm not interested, follows him across country, had no interest in law. She, I assume Selma Blair, has been wanting to do this for her whole life.
Right.
In my story, at least, she's always wanted to be a lawyer. She read To Kill a Mockingbird in grade 6, and she said, that's the life for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Atticus Finch. So she gets into Harvard Law, and now she has her high school sweetheart back with her.
Yeah.
And then this lady shows up and goes like, oh, can I be in your study group? And she's like, no, you can't be in my study group, you insane stalker. I don't think she's a villain. I think her greatest crime is having dark hair.
And she's not completely unfortunate looking.
They do make her dress like that alternate history Mary from It's a Wonderful Life. Do you remember when George doesn't exist and his wife has the terrible, terrible misfortune of leading a life as a librarian?
Oh, yeah.
And she always has like the high necks. And
yeah, she's...
She dresses Victorian,
which
is weird.
She dresses like a spinster.
Yeah.
And like...
Because she's serious about law. She's dressing like her hero, Atticus Finch.
Uh-huh.
Atticus never unbuttons his stuff. Mm. That's a part of it.
But I feel like Selma Blair and Elle Woods are like well matched, and I can understand them becoming friends because I feel like they have very similar reactions to things. Some of their like quippy comebacks and stuff. I feel like they're going to do well together. I believe that friendship. So Elle shows up in a full bunny costume and high heels and ears and everything. And Selma Blair does such a good spit take.
And then she proceeds to hit on her boyfriend right in front of her.
Yeah.
I think Elle's the villain in this.
It's not a cool thing to do.
No.
No.
Well, clearly he's the villain. Then Elle, then Selma Blair.
Yeah. Okay. For now.
For now.
So Elle realizes that Warner's never going to take her seriously. And so she decides to go.
To move on?
Yeah.
And no.
To become a serious law student, which I feel like should have happened on day one. But
yeah, because her commitment to the plan comes and goes.
It does.
Because she like tries real hard and gets into Harvard. And then she's like, okay, now I just coast.
Yeah.
That's a weird.
You didn't bring a notebook that wasn't heart-shaped?
I would have really loved if her like real commitment to becoming a lawyer or a law student came from something of her own.
Other than like that, trying to win him back.
Like Jennifer Coolidge needed something and she's like, you know what, I'm going to study hard and this is how I can help my friends. This is how I can put forth something good into the world. Or this is how I can prove to people that I and people that look like me are more than just our looks. But it is at this point still just like, well, this will win him.
Yeah. Back. Yeah. We see Luke Wilson again in the bookstore as she's trying to buy a computer in a bunny costume.
Right.
And then we find out a very exciting thing that the first years are going to be picked to be interns on a murder trial.
Oh, yeah.
So we see Selma Blair and Warner and Elle get picked. And I can't remember who the other person was. Enid, I think.
Oh, right. Because there's the woman who also doesn't like Elle.
Yeah.
But then the movie also hates her because it's like, oh, she's one of these East Coast lesbians who loves women's studies. This movie hates a lot of women. For a very empowering movie, or empowering character, the movie itself doesn't like many women.
Yeah, that's not a great thing.
Especially brunettes.
Oh, brunettes are the worst.
Tell me about it.
So Elle gets picked and she says, I have shopping to do, and rushes off to buy a whole new wardrobe to be a lawyer.
There was that one scene where she's wearing what looks like a smoking jacket with a tie. That was very strange.
Oh, the like wrap cardigan. But sure. She's also sort of dressed like a mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a Hugh Hefner mermaid.
Yeah.
That was a weird look.
It's a mixture of that. Yeah. She has some very interesting outfits.
Definitely.
And I feel like we see Elle kind of lose herself in this black and white lawyer outfits.
Right.
And then at the end of the movie, which we will get to, she finds herself again and she figures out how she can be herself and also a lawyer, even though she's done like 4 months of law school.
Yeah.
So the trial.
The trial. Again, nonsensical. And my issue isn't going to be like, so you made a first-year law student your attorney in a murder case? I don't care.
Fine.
I don't take issue with that at all. I do take some issue with the fact that, so Ellie Larder, I don't know her character's name, she would rather go to jail than let people know that she got liposuction.
Yeah.
That says like a lot, because I get it that it's a plot contrivance, just like you're my lawyer now. And I don't have an issue with it on that aspect, but doesn't it also just further the shallowness of a lot of these characters? We're trying to say that just because I'm pretty and I care about these things doesn't mean I'm shallow in one note, because she's kind of shallow in one note.
Yeah. I don't know. Brooke's character is kind of hard to pin down because she's supposed to be a Delta Nu.
Yeah.
And so she's from that like sorority world.
So she intrinsically trusts her because she's like, oh, you are pretty and privileged and come from that world too. Yeah. So you are good.
They're sisters.
You are a good person because you also have lots of money.
Yeah. And then I don't know. I feel like the character is very well written if you look at it from like a women's dieting point of view, because she's like lying to her people.
Yeah, so she is not a good person.
No.
So shouldn't be sympathetic, because the fact that it is liposuction that she's lying about, but then also selling this fitness lifestyle, it just kind of compounds what I already have issue with in this movie, that, yeah, if you're rich and privileged, you can do anything you want. And it's a movie about, like, you can be anything you want, but it's always underscored, but if you're beautiful and rich. Which, like, do we need empowering movies for beautiful rich people? They're pretty empowered. Last time I looked, beautiful rich people get what they want.
Very true.
And so many things in this movie just kind of underscore that, that the fact that she is, like, lying to people. Of course, it's nobody's business. Anyone can get liposuction. Go get it if you want. There's no judgment in that. But if you are then selling what you're doing as, look, you can do this and not need liposuction, then that is an issue. And then it is something that also comes back to her, like, yeah, if you're privileged like me, you can. But if you can't afford this, no, you can't. And that's, yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, it's not a great thing to put out there.
Also, just tell people and you won't go to jail for murder.
Yeah, true. True. The interesting thing is that I never have, like, locked onto that piece.
How, what do you mean?
Like, I've never really cared about the fact that she was lying about having liposuction.
Oh.
Like, that's never something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. It's,
I think, more than male and female movies, when we bring things, you bring things that are rich people, and I bring things that are working class or poor people. Oftentimes, my movies are more masculine, yours are more feminine, but 95% of the time, yours are rich people and mine aren't. I think it comes in that more than it is like a man-woman thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I've never really considered the Brooke lying about her liposuction.
She could just get out of jail.
True.
She could get out of jail tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't even care about it as a plot hole of like, well, then of course, then what's our story if she just gets out of jail? But it's an odd one. It's an odd
part. It's an odd one. Yeah, for sure. So L is determined to help win the case without Ali Larter's alibi. And she says the iconic line of, well, I guess we're not very good lawyers then. And everyone's like, I guess we have to work a little harder. Which I feel like real lawyers wouldn't ever bat an eye at. They'd be like, what do you mean? Like, of course we're good lawyers. And she kind of wins their respect by figuring out that the pool cleaner is gay.
Right, which also, ooh, problematic.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, you know my shoes? Hey, everyone, this dude's gay. And then, of course, she's right.
Yeah.
Only non-white person to speak, maybe?
Some of the people in the hair salon speak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And there is the judge, who's your standard no-nonsense black female judge.
Yes, true. She doesn't take any shit.
I don't know who that is. I bet she's played other judges.
Probably. She does do a very good judge, and I feel like over the years she's honed that for sure.
You had to stake the whole case on... I knew it had to be something that she has specific knowledge about. So I get that it's going to be fashion related. That's a good call. But then to also have it, her other skill is judging and stereotyping people.
Yeah.
As much as this movie is about her breaking through that, it is also about her and others placing it upon many other people, which is why like the main message of the movie seems somewhat diminished, because it's like, yeah, you can be anything you want if you're blonde and rich and beautiful. I don't know that that was in question before. Blonde women are more successful in the business world and in politics. They are unproportionately hired in to office, and CEOs are way more blonde than brunette, even though blondes are only like, what, 5% of the population.
True.
So I get that there are dumb blonde jokes out there, and that's not nice. I think it's also bringing back to me, I remember in elementary school and in junior high school when we would talk about like stereotypes or prejudice. And in my elementary school, there were like four of us who weren't white, and I'd had to sit in class and people would go on about, like, once I heard someone make a blonde joke and that's not good. And we just talk about how mean it is to do blonde jokes. And it's like, hey, I got beat up and told to go back to a country I'm not from. Are you going to? No one cares about that.
Yeah.
It's just like blonde jokes were such a big deal that this whole movie being about, like, they thought I'm not smart because I'm because blonde. Of my boobs and my how blonde I am.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not, you're not that marginalized, you know? You're a rich blonde woman.
True.
I think you're doing fine.
Yeah, you could afford to dye your hair whatever color you want.
Yeah.
You could make it icky brown.
Yeah.
And then everybody at Harvard would take you seriously.
One of the few things I know about the production of this movie is that there was an alternate ending where Selma Blair dyes her hair blonde.
Really?
Yeah, just because I'd seen a picture of her with blonde hair. And I was like, what the fuck's this? And it was for Legally Blonde, but it doesn't show up in the movie.
Oh, I'm glad they didn't put that in there.
Yeah.
So Elle uses her hair care knowledge to out Chutney.
Chutney. I love that her name was Chutney.
Yeah.
And I love that it's Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
I still hold that Linda Cardellini is the Daniel Day-Lewis of female humor. She blends into any. I love Linda Cardellini. The first time this has come up. I think she's great. I think she can do anything. I don't think she is challenged nearly enough because she's never a lead, rarely a lead.
Uh-huh.
But she disappears into any role.
She does.
She's a modern day Daniel Day-Lewis.
I didn't until you started talking about Linda Cardellini. I hadn't really ever noticed her.
And now you realize she's in everything.
And I did not realize that she was in this playing Chutney. And I always kind of liked the character of Chutney because it's like a very, you can tell that Linda Cardellini, or the actress playing this role, has thought about this person, has spent a lot of time thinking about what Chutney's like. And I just feel like
that's what you get when you hire a pro like Linda
Cardellini. The hair, the makeup, the like movements, the way she talks. Like it was perfect. And Elle gets Chutney to confess to murder, basically, or attempted murder and murder. By saying that she couldn't shower, she had just gotten a perm.
I wish I could rewrite that scene. It was so clumsily done. Like,
eh.
Right at the beginning, I know you were annoyed with me a lot in this movie because
I wasn't.
In the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, this and this and this and this is going to happen.
Okay,
and
that was annoying, yeah.
All right. And at the beginning, every scene, if I felt you can just tell every little specific thing. And I thought the perm stuff was very clumsily written.
Yeah.
Like, she would know that. Not, like, Chutney, the character, wouldn't make that mistake.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's too obvious.
Yeah.
You wouldn't bring up the fact, like, yeah, I had got a perm and then I went and had a shower. Because she was, in fact, getting perms for so long.
For
and
so
she
long,
knows
yeah.
that. So why would you say it?
Yeah.
They had to give something for Elle to have insight into.
Yes.
But it
the
could
other
have been
lawyer
something
wouldn't
so
know.
Much more complicated. Something that Chutney herself wouldn't know so easily that she did. But again, I'm being picky about the script. I thought the script is not great.
Yeah.
There's a great character and a great idea, and then a lot of clumsiness around it.
I think that Chutney was banking on the fact that most lawyers, unlike Elle, wouldn't know the rules of perm.
But then you wouldn't bring it up.
True.
You don't bring up a lie.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, we know what we want from that scene. And everyone knows what was going to happen in those scenes, right? We all knew that it was Chutney, right?
Maybe.
And we knew it was going to be that she would have some insight, whether it's cosmetology or fashion or something, that's what was going to save the day. And there's so many more obscure ways you could do it. Like with the shoe thing, they could have had something there, but their takeaway was like, oh, and so he's gay.
Right.
So then you're like, oh, you had it. You had some specific fashion stuff that was a good insight into the character and showing how attentive and maybe not insightful, but how much attention to detail and how much knowledge about specific things she has. But then you have these big jumps of like, oh, and he's gay. And then his boyfriend is in the back like, wait, what did you do?
Yeah.
And why would he blow up his lie if he already knew he was lying?
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. And we get the big moment where she goes out and talks to the press, because that's what you do after a big murder trial.
Yeah, that's in every movie,
first,
so I forgive that.
Your Harvard law student wins a murder trial and talks to the press after.
Yeah. Actually, if ever there was someone who was going to talk to the press, it would be a first year law student.
You're like, did you hear that this happened and it's crazy?
And she was wearing pink.
Yeah, she didn't stuffy herself up.
And that, I did think, was a great little symbol that she is both a lawyer and feminine, because that is the heart of the movie, is that you can be both intellectual and serious, but also retain that femininity, because to like gain access to these male-dominated worlds, women have to adhere to rules of of the patriarchy. I know it's gotten to be such a buzzword that it's lost all meaning, but this is where it actually matters. Yes. These are patriarchal structures, and to gain access to them, women have to compromise their so many things. In this case, what her style, her femininity, and it's showing that you can do both. And that's great. The writing of the scene was no good.
Any Cosmo girl would have known it.
The Bible, she refers to. Man, Cosmo is... She should know that Cosmo is junk.
It
also
is junk. It's absolutely junk.
If she's as smart as she is, she should know how junk it is.
So the final scene is graduation.
Can we jump back? Because we kind of skipped over how she became the lawyer, because the what's-her-name Garber hits on her.
Callahan hits on her, And I feel like that was a logical place for the plot to go here.
Yeah. At first, I was thinking that, like, well, that came out of nowhere. This was, like, a mentor, and then we needed a switch, so we did this. Well, what did you think, actually?
I feel like this is, a logical thing to include in a movie like this.
Yeah.
Where she's overcoming adversity and stuff, and she needs a moment to kind of stand up for herself, even though she is, like, a character who stands up for herself. I feel like at this point in the movie, she kind of needs a moment to like remember who she is and that she's an intelligent woman and that she can do this without falling victim to a creepy professor. And I feel like this being included in the movie and having her say, no, I'm going to be a lawyer without you feeling me up, is a really good message for girls and women who are watching this.
Absolutely. So what I was saying before is at first glance, I thought that his character was a mentor. He had faith in her and he was going to bring her along, and that this switch of hitting on her, grabbing her knee, right? That's what he does. That was...
Puts his hand like up her skirt.
Okay. That was out of nowhere. And I was like, where did this come from? That's not this character. This is just like a plot contrivance. And I'm wrong. I think that's wrong. I think it does work, because had he been this like lecherous, like, oh, hey, do you want to be one of, like, if he had been that the whole time, you see it coming. And then you might say like, yeah, his character would do that. Mm-hmm. But that's not the world.
No.
The world is these people who earn your trust, who in front of everyone might seem like a great guy.
Yeah.
And
he
did. The only thing we got was that he kept asking Selma Blair to get the coffee.
Yeah.
But it was only her and not Elle. So then I was willing to chalk that up to like, maybe Selma Blair's not as good as everyone else.
Yeah. Like maybe she's just not as useful legally.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's going to get some coffee.
So your first instinct is like, oh, he's making the women do that. But he doesn't make Elle do it. So then I was like, okay, maybe that's not the thing. But having him be a role model, somewhat of a father figure even.
Yeah.
And then... do something like that. And it's not a cornering against a wall, because that would be too much for a movie like this,
for sure.
Tonally.
Yeah.
But also, this is realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a touch. And not when I say just a touch, I'm not meaning like, it's just a touch. But it was a touch he did, and you know exactly what he's implying.
Yeah.
You know exactly what he wants, and she does as well.
Yes.
And women would know that as well.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So I... changed my mind, and I thought having him do that was not out of nowhere. And maybe it was out of nowhere, but it doesn't mean it's out of character. Because people who are sexual predictors.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Build up that facade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
and
how
they
get away with it.
And they do a very good job of not showing their cards.
And it only happens like once, and somewhat subtly in the mm-hmm. movie world and when they're alone. And that is unfortunately very realistic.
Oh, yeah. No. And I think that's exactly something that happens. Yeah. And I think it's very unfortunate that as women, we have to be on guard for that all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm really glad they included that in the movie, because that is totally something that a large portion of women have experienced or expect to experience. Yeah.
Especially probably when you're in the, like, these types of yeah. male-dominated professional settings.
Yes. And all you're looking for is a mentor.
Yeah.
And not someone to fill you up. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. And I thought that Selma Blair seeing it and taking it the wrong way was... It didn't need to be in there.
It was odd because the scene just prior to that, they had made some sort of bonding between
yeah,
the two of them.
With
and
the
then this set
files
it back.
And stuff, yeah.
And that was tricky for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also at the part of the script. We're not saying, like, it's a formulaic movie, and this is the part of the formula that I hate. It always happens where, like, now they have to overcome this sort of adversity where mm-hmm. they don't need to. That didn't need to be in there. The part yeah. of Selma Blair not believing. And if you really reach, you could say that that is a result of those same patriarchal structures that pit mm-hmm. women against each other. But I think that's giving it too much credit. Like, I'm giving this movie credit where yeah. credit's due, I think. I think that part was just, like, we need a little more adversity yeah. between the two of them. If it was an intentional thing saying, like, to fit in, women also have to take on these traits, and that's why she's not believing her, because she's a victim of it just as much as Elle is.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't address that in any sort of way, so I feel no. like I can't give them credit for that. And it seems more just like, we need, we are... 75% of the way through the movie, we need another conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like we talked about this when we watched Mean Girls, about how, like, women are often pitted against each other, and there's an undertone of Mean Girls in just, like, working culture.
Sure.
And I feel like with a little bit more finesse, we could have hit on that too. But I don't think that they did it well in this movie. And I feel like we could have just skipped Vivian seeing it and gone straight to the more of the trial.
Yeah.
And I think that the movie would have been fine without it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, so now you were talking about the last
scene. I'm criticizing the movie. So yes, so Elle has won the trial and she's walked out in glory in her pink suit. And then we flash forward to 2 years later, and she's and her class are graduating from law school, and she is the valedictorian, which is I believe it. I don't know.
Sure.
I feel like she's, you know, figured law school out and is able to succeed.
Well, she's already won a high-profile murder trial.
Yes, and in her first, like, 6 months of law school.
Yeah.
And we see kind of updates on the screen, like text updates about...
I love when movies do this. I love... That's my favorite part of, like, Animal House. I love when they do the whole things like that, and I wish more movies did that. And I love... Oh, did I love it here? No, they weren't all that funny or great.
Yeah.
But they were fine.
It stopped... It prevented it from being a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. Yeah. So we find out that Elle and Vivian have become best friends after Vivian dumps Warner. Warner is basically just a big loser now and doesn't have any prospects.
That's one part I don't believe.
No.
Well, this rich, handsome dude has just, like, nothing's working out for him. He's going to be fine.
I think his family is going to step in.
Exactly.
But he, on his own, has no prospects.
Sure.
He
graduates from Harvard Law.
Yeah.
I think he has prospects.
Yeah, okay.
I like how that's where I draw the... where I cease to be able to sustain any sort of disbelief is that a rich... white, handsome Harvard grad has no prospects.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, there's a dad in every family.
He graduated from Harvard.
I know. And we find out that Emmett and Elle have been dating for the rest of law school and that he's going to propose to her.
Right.
And that is the end of the movie. Oh, and that Paulette and the UPS guy got married.
Oh, right. I forgot about him. And then they're having a baby. Yeah.
Named Elle.
Right.
And then they all throw their hats in the air and everyone's happy.
Even though that's the beginning of the ceremony.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. The speeches are always before the people get their degrees.
Yeah, but that doesn't look good on...
No.
Both of my... All three times I've graduated wearing a mortar board. They didn't do the throw up thing.
I also have never thrown my mortar board. Mortar and pestle?
No, that's...
Okay.
That's what I make guacamole with.
Okay. Mortar board.
Mortar board.
Okay.
But what are your final thoughts?
I think this is a fun movie. It's problematic in some parts, but I think that overall, I still love this movie. What about you?
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's worth watching. It has some great feminist messaging, but also, like, Elle seems to hate a lot of other women, and it seems like the movie does too.
Mm.
That weirds me out a lot. It's about, like, overcoming societal expectations. And you're like, yeah, great. But then it's hard not to acknowledge that the thing she's overcoming is being blonde. Rich and beautiful and blonde.
Yeah.
And also she mentions that her boobs are too big a few times.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I don't know if it's that hard to overcome, I gotta say.
True.
And sometimes the moral messaging is a bit hollow because it is this character who is... This kind of is a feminist icon, mm-hmm. right? In a lot of ways. Yeah. But simultaneously, she does the things she accuses others of doing to her to many other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, that's like the whole girl boss thing annoyed me because they're like, yeah, women can be assholes too. And it's like, or we could just all not be assholes. Yeah, maybe that's what we should strive for.
Very true.
And she's so likable that you're on board with it. And there's so many fun things, but once it gets into the formulaic parts of the last third of the movie, really a lot of the second half, that stuff seems slower. It seems less fun. It's less about Elle being Elle, which is the best parts of the mm-hmm, movie.
Absolutely.
And more about, like, we have to hit these notes because this is what happens at this point of the movie. Those parts are less fun. And the more you think about certain things, the... less you might like those things.
Yes, so just don't think about it.
That's probably the message. And it's not like plot stuff.
No.
If you're going to be nitpicky about the plot, you probably just shouldn't watch movies like this. I can get past that, but when you're making a movie about overcoming stereotypes, but then simultaneously stereotyping a lot of other things, then it's a little trickier to get past that.
Mm.
But it's still lots of fun. Very lots pink. Of good stuff in it. Quite pink. I think not pink enough.
I feel like the second half needs to be pinker.
Way more.
Yeah.
There should have been... I would love to write a movie like this.
Yeah.
I would love to write a movie targeted at... like an empowering movie for high school girls.
Yeah.
That's kind of like... that would be my sweet spot. I want makeovers. Why do we not have a good makeover montage?
True.
That seems like such a mistake.
Paulette, Selma Blair.
What I would do is, first of all, I would try to get rid of love interest altogether. But if you can't, you get rid of him earlier. Selma Blair and her become friends earlier. We do a makeover montage, and it's a makeover in both ways because she's making over Selma Blair, like getting her to, I don't know, unbutton that top button.
Yeah.
But then Selma Blair is teaching her law stuff. Like, there needs to be, like, a give and take. She needs to, I don't know, I just, in all of these movies, I want more female friendships. We get so few of them in movies because we get so few female leads, especially of a big budget comedy that has a single female lead. That's very rare. It was then. It still is.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage.
Yeah.
You know, go all in. Whenever they do it, whenever there's like a Bridesmaids, a Mean Girls, it does well. Give us more of that and mm-hmm. give us more of the things we want. And for me, that is, I know this 40-year-old man is not the target audience of that movie. But what I think a lot of other people would want too, who are the target audience, are those female friendships and less about chasing a boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All in all, though, still lots of fun and pretty good.
So much fun. I do think there should have been a makeover montage, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it would be a classic makeover for Selma Blair and an academic makeover for Elle.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I would have had is the best friend would have been like that at the beginning, and she helps her get into law school. But I guess, you know, you need it in a second act.
Yeah.
Well, I'll write it up. I'll get back to you later.
Okay, great. Awesome. I can't wait for the pitch. Well, Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. So legal. So blonde.
So blonde. Yeah, well, we are not done with lawyer week.
Yeah, legal month?
Legal month.
Legal month continues. Next week, we'll each have a law-based thing of the fortnight. Yeah. I don't know what mine's going to be.
I think I know what mine is going to be.
And then we'll reveal what my big watch is going to be. Also law-based? Law-based.
Based in law.
Yeah.
Awesome. Will it be just as blonde?
Oh, only time will tell.
Excellent. Is it Legally Blonde too?
Red, white, and blonde. That's what it is, right?
It is.
I hear it's bad. Is it bad?
It doesn't have the magic of the first movie.
Did you see the third, Legally Blondes?
No, I haven't seen it.
I'd be curious because I know the writers are people I like.
Oh, yeah. Red, white, and blonde is fun. But like I said, it's not as good as the first movie, mm-hmm. as a lot of sequels are. Yeah. But Legally Blonde's, I don't really know what it's about, so I don't really...
We should watch it.
We should.
Can I skip part two?
No, you have to watch part two.
What? Okay. All right. Well, we will see you next week.
Yay. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
It's Uffigus.
With a G? Uffigus? That's weird. Uffigus. Snuffleuffigus. Snuffleuffigus. Or is it Uffigus? Uffigus?
It's Snuffleuppigus.
Uppigus?
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, but wait. So the Google search is Snuffleuppigus.
Uh-huh.
And then right next to it, it says Snuffleuffigus. So who knows?
Wait, what do you mean the Google search? Like the autocomplete? Because autocomplete...
Luffigus.
Luffigus. Snuffleuffigus?
Snuffleuffigus.
Snuffleuffigus?
Yeah.
What?
Luffagus. Snuffleuffigus. I don't even remember what I was saying was right, so...
Snuffleuppigus. I have uppigus. What are you looking... I'm looking at Wikipedia has it as Aloysius Snuffleuppigus. Like Pegasus at the end.
Oh.
What are you looking at?
I was looking at the song Snuffleuffigus.
The song?
Yeah, that's what it came up.
Which song?
It's from 2016. So I'm going to go with yours, Pegasus.
Snuffleuppigus. Okay, I've been saying it correctly, I guess. But it's weird because it has a F-L-E-U in the middle. Like flu.
Snuffleuppigus.
Snuffleuppigus. Snuffleuppigus.
Let's just call him Aloysius.
Snuffy.
Snuffy.
That's what they called him.
Snuffle.
I want to see new Snuffleuppigus. I wonder if it still looks like the old one was kind of scary and like ratty and shitty looking with those eyelashes.
It like hangs scary. Down in his yeah. face. Yeah. Anyway, Legally Blonde?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that again.
Okay. So